Okay, well, let's call this meeting to order. Laura, may we have a roll call, please?
Director Sesenia?
I'm here.
Director Gatchel?
Present.
Director Ohilski?
Present.
Vice President Fourcroy?
I'm here.
President Womack?
Present. And with that, we'll move to agenda item 2, public hearing, to receive input from the community and adopt a resolution approving the selection of a final voting area scenario for the 5 Board of Directors districts. Let's see, do we have presentation?
Ron, you're muted.
Here I am. Yes, I do have a presentation. We'll step through. Why don't you go ahead and go to the next slide, please? I'm just going to provide a little bit of background, kind of summarize where we've been and where we're going, and then look at the maps that we've been looking at for the last few weeks. As you know, we started this way back in January when we adopted a resolution declaring our intent to move to bi-area elections. We hired our consultant, Cooperative Strategies. We started our public hearings back in August. Next slide, please. We went through 2 pre-map public hearings and then started looking at mapping scenarios back in October. If you recall at our last meeting, we were narrowing the mapping options down. And so next slide, please. Tonight we'll be looking specifically at map 2A and map 3 that the board selected for consideration last time. We do have maps 2B and 2C that were included in the agenda packet and will be part of the presentation tonight just for review. We will be asking for the board to select a final map. And if a map 2 or a variation of is selected, we'll review the sequencing options available to the board, and we will ask for a decision on that as well. I do want to say tonight, we do have David Lopez and Andrew Bishop from Cooperative Strategies here. And of course, we have Jeff Menry to answer any legal questions. Next Ron? Slide, please.
Ron, can I interrupt 1 second?
Yes.
David Lopez was unable to make it. He had a family emergency he had to take care of. So it'll just be me from Cooperative Strategies.
All right. Well, thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome.
So after we get through the selection of the map, our next steps will be to schedule our 6th and final public hearing on January 6th to adopt a resolution to approve the final voting area map. And then we'll work with our consultant to and with the clerk's office to have the division maps integrated into the countywide voting system for our election in November 2022. Next slide, please. So let's look at the maps. This is scenario 2A. This one, we have 2 voting areas that have currently have 2 directors in. As you can see, I don't know my numbers really well, area 4 and area 2. Next slide, please. The other map we were looking at was scenario 3. This one is where each director, current director, is in their own voting area. And then we'll review really quick 2B. The difference here is that there's only 1 voting area that has 2 directors. As you can see, again, over in area 4, and finally in 2C, the next one. Very similar, but the 2 directors in 1 voting area are in area 5, voting area 5. Next slide, please. So with that, we'll step through. That's the presentation. Of course, we'll conduct our public hearing, and then we will ask for a map selection and wrap up this part of our process. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the board, Chris.
Oh, I have to unmute myself. Okay, thank you, Ron. All right, I'm hoping we're gonna have some discussion on these maps from the board.
Okay, well, let me start then. This is Chuck. When I looked at scenario 3 last time, I missed one key change that I think needs to be made if we're going to consider that map, and I have no problem with that map otherwise. And that is that The community of Morrow Shores, the mobile home park, is at the westerly edge of Area 3, I guess, under Scenario 3. And really, that park is linked with Area 1, requested by the city neighborhood. Topography, the fact that there are streets available for walking, riding, doing everything. The people in Morrow Shores neighborhood belong with Cuesta by the Sea. Way more in common with that neighborhood than anything up by Bush and Farrell or the other side even of South Bay Boulevard. So that's something I wish I had caught that last time around. I don't know if it's too late to ask for a change in 3. I think there's a couple hundred people that live there. I don't think that would skew these maps in a way that would put us out of, you know, the legal restrictions and things that we have to look at. Anyway, that's my comment.
Just real quick, if I could chime in there, Chris. I know, Andrew, you're looking at those. The difficulty we have is the population and any shift and the impact of that, and where does that population come from? If you recall on this, we had some issues in the green area where it had actually dipped down below to the south of Los Osos Valley Road over by Palisades. And so the subtle nuances here is if you shift here, where do we shift on the other side to capture? And I don't know, Andrew, if you can comment on that on the fly here.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up my mapping right now so I can.
Okay, while you're doing that, I have a comment because I'm noticing Area 3, which we'd be pulling from, has 2,927, and the Area 1 that we'd be pulling to has less, 2,736. So I don't know how many people live there either, but maybe that would be, if it's only a couple hundred people, maybe that would work. Just looking at the numbers as I see.
Just so I'm clear, this is the area in red that's right next. Okay, perfect. All right, I'm going to work on this. I'll get back to you guys in just a moment while you discuss.
Thank you.
I appreciate your comments, Chuck. I agree that I don't think there's going to be a perfect map where we preserve these nuanced neighborhood delineations. I mean, I see what you're saying, and I feel like in a perfect world that would be good. I also don't see that big of a difference. I mean, we're a small town as it is. Yes, there's different neighborhoods and different sides to town, but I don't know that having one side of the street in one district or another side of the street in another district is necessarily a big deal in Los Osos in this situation. And I still support map 3, scenario 3. I really would like to see each director be in their own district so we can avoid sequencing and avoid bottlenecks in the future about who can run and when, and at least maintain our current board viability in the future.
I have to disagree. It doesn't make, I mean, if you look at what the Board of Supervisors did on Tuesday, we'd be basically doing the same thing with the smaller population. So I think that the 2A that we talked about last time is the correct solution in order to keep our areas of interest together. And I mean, the sequencing is irrelevant to me because other people are going to run, and you're to do that for, you know, it just, it doesn't make any logical sense to me. I've been opposed to doing this from the get-go, as you know, but to me, the 2A is the best solution. And that's the only one I would vote for.
My comment back to Marshall is just that what the county being split up versus Los Osos, I feel like that's definitely two different things.
It's two different things, yeah, on a scale. But the idea of the area, the communities of special interest, we're breaking them up unless we go with 2A.
Yeah, that's my point, though, is our community of interest. I mean, we are a community of interest. Breaking it up in the first place is definitely not my first choice. And I don't think that we lose any representation in that, or we lose any voice in our community by selecting one of these maps or the other. So for me, it's more about maintaining directors in their own districts.
And I agree. I think Los Osos is pretty homogenous as opposed to what the county is trying to do by splitting up like us from Morro Bay to begin.
I noticed that Andrew.
It looks like Andrew's ready. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
So in moving that census block that we were discussing for scenario three, it does put us out of the variance just slightly. We fall beyond that 10% kind of federal benchmark, which we're trying to achieve. It ends up being about 10.1%. It's just slight. There would possibly have to be a move between the yellow and the green where we'd move an additional census block from area one back into area two. But because of the way the census blocks are comprised in between area one and area two on that
Is it one and two or one and three?
If we were to move that portion from three to one, like was suggested, we would be out of variance. And our 10% variance would then be between areas one and two. So then in order to get back in the variance, we'd have to move a census block from area one into area two. So it's kind of a two-prong approach. We would have to move.
You know what? I might like that. Although I think it's too many people, but all right. Area two, the green area.
Mm-hmm.
This little piece here belongs in green. It's
the issue with that is the shape of that census block that's directly under that green extension. It's a rather large census block the way the census is cut it. But then below that, there is another individual census block, and that would be the one I would probably look to move. But it would almost look like two prongs on a fork with a indent in the middle. I can share my screen if you guys would like.
I'd like to see.
I guess what I'm seeing is, you know, we hired a professional group to look at this, and it seems like we got basically close to the best that we're gonna get without going around for a long time. When do we have to select the map by? Isn't that coming up?
That is not until, I believe, April to get it to the clerk recorder's office.
Middle of April.
Okay, but I like trying to see if we can accommodate Chuck. I mean, I think he has a good point. And if we can't, if it doesn't work, it doesn't. But
I believe, if we do
have some time. Go ahead.
I believe 2B and C, I can't remember which one, does move that Morro Shores over a little bit. That we just flashed it up for a second. But I believe that 2B or C did flash it up, move Morro Shores.
Oh, this is, can you see 2C on my map? Or this is 2C here, and this is Morro Shores, so it's included in area two. And then it's included in 2B and 2C, they're included together, or it's all included in area two.
But then don't we get back into the sequencing issue that we have with 2A?
Yes.
We haven't even looked at that yet for these two scenarios.
Yeah, right. The sequencing just becomes a little less impactful with 2B and C because you just have one voting area with two directors, but you still have a sequencing issue.
So I'm hearing Chuck would like to avoid sequencing.
The thing we're going through with the county makes me nervous. Who's going to come represent us on the BMC? It gets weird. And I hadn't really paid that much attention to it, I guess, until now. I do want to try and keep neighborhoods together, that kind of thing. But again, we're not that big a town, and one side of the street isn't often different from the other. The sequencing thing does make me nervous.
Right. So, Andrew, what were you trying to point out with the census block?
Here? So this is the census block where Mora Shores is. And if we were to send it to Trustee Area 1, you can see here now we're just slightly out of compliance. It's 10.03% between these two.
Right, I see it.
And so if we were to possibly move that census block to Area 2, it kind of gives a pronged approach, but we're back within our threshold. So it's minor changes. With a population of your size, moving one census block or another could really tip the scale one way. As we saw with Mora Shores, but that could be a solution there. It keeps more of this neighborhood together. And you could even assign that, and it's actually even a better variance at that point. Keeps it all together. Where Trustee Area 2 now is kind of the perfect size, your ideal population.
Mm.
So,
good job.
I used to live on that part of Manzanita over here that would be cut out. But I don't know. I kind of like that.
Yeah, so this is the census block that's in question. You can see it's a very odd shape. And so that kind of makes it difficult to play with. I have to use that geography from the census because that's how the population is provided.
Okay. Yeah. So that's not our fault then.
No.
I would support that modification to map 3.
I would too.
Me 3.
I was going to say, should we see if we have any input from
the public? Yes, thanks for reminding me. Let's open discussion up to the public. Do we have any public?
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, please dial *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. All right, Tom, you just have to unmute yourself.
Hello. I came to this meeting. I had to leave volunteering at the community center with Los Osos Cares, and I asked them about this map. And they were very unhappy with scenario 3. And if they heard that you are essentially trying to make the shapes as gerrymandered as possible just so those on the board can keep their jobs, I do not think those in that community would be very happy, me included. So I really hope that you consider more than just your own seats when deciding these maps. And you say that Los Osos is homogenous as it is, but the very act of creating districts in election season especially, those districts will become those communities. And making these weird shapes to serve you who are on the board does not sit right with me, especially after seeing what the county has done. Thank you. That is all I have to say.
All right, Lynette, you just have to unmute yourself.
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I'm just wondering what happened to Marshall. I'm scanning the right side here trying to find what happened to him. Is he gone?
Lynette, he is still there. He just muted his camera.
Oh, okay. That was my only question. This is fascinating. The only thing I really had to say about it was the Hispanic population. I wanted to make sure they were well represented by whatever map you guys wind up picking. And that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Lynette.
There's no other public comment at this time.
Okay, let's bring it back to the board.
I'd like to add a couple of things. I do not see this as a analog process to what the county's doing at all. In fact, on every single map that we've had put before us as a board, where I live is not, in every single map, isn't doubled up with any other director. So as far as moving map lines around to be self-serving, I totally reject that. I think it's a benefit to the community to have those people who are serving, which this board has 5 people that are serving the community on it. And if they choose to run again, I hope they are able to. And that's my comment to that.
I guess I have some, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just, for the Hispanic population, based what I think I've read in the data, and the consulting can chime in, but it looked like it's pretty spread out through the community, and there's not one center of population for that that would cause a districting piece. I don't know if the consultant can chime in there, but I believe it's all pretty balanced out through all these districts.
That's correct. There, the Hispanic populations in the Los Osos community is fairly spread out. So there isn't one dense center of population that we could group together to kind of give them that voting strength, in a retained area.
Thank you. And then I guess my second piece is, I think we just, from the mapping perspective, and it, you know, we don't have a lot of, we have a bunch of different neighborhoods, I guess, per se, but, you know, putting our directors aside, you know, in our positions, but, you know, we just do what's right for the community as well, because things change and, you know, people come and go and stuff like that, just in general. So I don't think we're trying to do it for our own benefit. I think we're trying to make it for the community. And even if we have to sequence, that's something that we have to deal with. But that's my only comment for that piece.
Oh, thanks, Troy. I guess my issue is, it's not so much trying to keep it for the benefit of the current directors, but for the benefit of the community. We've had trouble having enough people to fill seats in the past, and we have a pretty stable board, and we don't have, I think people show up when they're angry or afraid, and I think we haven't had that. And I kind of read that as we're doing a pretty good job of providing water service and we can compare it to the other water service that serves the community costs more than we do. And we rely on the service of people in the community to serve on our board. I guess I kind of have a little heartburn at the thought of Chuck not being able to run, who served for a really long time on utilities and is starting to see a lot of projects coming to fruition, because he shares with a newer board member who I'm really appreciative to have, that is smart and has stepped up to serve us. But losing our institutional knowledge, I see as a problem for the community. It's not because I'm desperate to keep my seat. So anyway, that's just some thoughts. I kind of have, that's why I have difficulty with 2A. I prefer 3. I prefer ultimately to not have to district. If Santa Monica comes back, that they don't have to redistrict. But barring that, if we do, I think I could be persuaded for scenario 2B or 2C. I just have a problem with 2A.
Well, I'd like to make a motion that the board select a modified map 3 to which per what we did with Andrew on the screen with Morrow Shores and the part of District 2 or Area 2 to be changed.
I'll second that motion.
All right, Laura, maybe I have a roll call vote.
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Director Ohilski.
I wanted to have a chance to discuss the motion, but you went right to the vote without having a chance to discuss the motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should I go back?
Well, it doesn't matter. You have a majority now. It's too late. So I vote no.
President Womack.
I vote yes. All right. I'm sorry, Marshall.
No, that's okay. I mean, I just wanted to agree with what Tom had said.
Well, you know what? I kind of think we're getting painted maybe by some decisions that were made earlier this week in another venue. I appreciate, Christine, everything you said. You will not lose my institutional knowledge. If I'm not on the board, I will be at public comment. I honestly believe that Morrow Shores is connected with Cuesta by the Sea. I don't know how I missed that in this first look at these maps. If we talk about neighborhoods, that certainly is one. That said, sequencing, I'll run. If the opportunity presents itself and I'm in the mood to do that, and I haven't lost my appetite for this yet, that's for sure. But I really think that we're kind of being maybe painted with a little bit of overspray from another decision this week.
So, Ron, if we bring this out to, I mean, I think we try to get further input from the public at this point, right?
Well, from here, we will bring back to the January 6th meeting a resolution to approve this final map. And that will be a public hearing. So there'll be one more opportunity for public comment and final decision by the board.
Because I would welcome more community input. I feel like we haven't had a lot of community input.
Go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead.
Thing I was going to raise if I had had the opportunity to discuss this was you're making some changes here that the public haven't seen before. And it seems to me that to have community input is important, especially given the fact that we don't have to do this till April. That was my second point I was going to make.
So maybe we propose this map, but we put it out to the public and then the public has a chance to respond and change us? Or, I mean, as we move forward, are we just doing this one?
President Womack, now your board has made a determination to go with a particular map. It was a final map. So my understanding is that that decision has been made and you can receive public comment in the final, prior to making the resolution a final adoption, but.
Okay, thanks for clarifying.
What happens if on January 6th, if we move forward with this revised map, January 6th, we get a public storm that comes out with arguments that we hadn't really even considered. This isn't due until April. Can we postpone, put off a decision until February?
Is that directed to me?
Yes. To anybody who has an answer. Anybody who has an answer.
I'll answer that, Jeff. Of course, we can postpone it. Until you take that final vote on that resolution, it's still in the board's hands.
Okay, so the public does have time to give us more input, which I would welcome.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I think we're done with this.
Andrew, thank you for being here with us tonight.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Andrew.
You're very welcome. After the meeting tonight, I'll prepare a version of this map that we worked on and distribute it so it can be posted and the community can look at it to start giving input.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Laura, thanks for reminding me. So Andrew doesn't have to stay for the rest of the meeting. Okay. Do public comment for items not on the agenda?
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're on your phone, *9. And if you're on your computer, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
All right. Time for administrative and committee reports. I think I saw Paul Provins here. For our fire report.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just multitasking. Sorry.
All right. Do you have a report for us?
I do.
For being here.
I do. All right, so looks like we had 167 calls last reporting period. Had a couple medical aids, 84 of them being medical aids. Had a couple fires, probably heard in the news or smoke around town. We had a 3-acre fire up off of Clark Valley Road in the middle of the night. That was a human-caused fire, and that's about as far as I'll go into that. That's about as much information I have on it right now, but... if you see any suspicious activity around town, be sure to give us a call and let us know so we can come take a look. Not a whole lot of impact over in the Palisades area. It looks like there's been a lot of cleanup over in that area, and there's not as much population over there anymore. So we didn't really have any calls taking place in that area. Still under the COVID pandemic precautions around the station, obviously with the new variant out there, we'll be coming out probably with some more information for our employees and what precautions, if any additional precautions need to be taken. Last time I reported on sidewalk CPR occurring, that's going to be going on throughout the county. That's a countywide program with the intent of just getting the general citizens involved with doing hands-only CPR and AED familiarity. We will be doing them in February and August in the Los Osos area. You don't need to sign up or anything like that. We'll put some stuff out on social media, and we'll probably put something up on the marquee on the station. And as I get a specific date nailed down, I'll put it in the board report for the location and where and what time. And you can just show up and we'll be glad to help. On the 20th, we completed the orientation of our new hire reserve firefighters. So, 6 of them will immediately begin shift work. They're coming with some pre-existing training. So that'll be good to bolster our staffing. And then there'll be a remaining 7 that'll have to go through the San Luis Obispo Regional Academy in January. So, we're pretty excited about that. Just met with them last week. Good, enthusiastic bunch. Looks like that's going to be a good shot in the arm for us. Still accepting applications. We're going to keep that open, and that way we can just keep an open recruitment going. We conducted some surf rescue training with Cambria Fire District, and we also participated in 5 days of State Fire Marshal surf rescue operations. We had an instructor from Station 15, and then we also had a reserve firefighter from Station 15 who received the Distinguished Top Fin Award, which is selected by the instructors of the class as the top of the class for the class. So we're pretty excited about that. And that would be one of our new reserve firefighters, Firefighter Dreyfus. So we're pretty excited about that. We are accepting toy and food donations at the station throughout the holiday season, support Operation Santa Claus and the Slo County Food Bank. We'll have the barrels out in front of the station during the day, and then before the guys go to bed at night, they'll be pulling them inside, so feel free to drop them off at any time. Any questions?
Thank you, Paul. Do we have any questions from the board?
You're muted, Chuck. Chuck,
you're still muted.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry. Thank you for sidewalk CPR. That the more familiar that people get with this procedure and with life-saving and emergency situations in general, just the easier it'll be. I think that's a good program.
Yeah, there's been a lot of evidence and case study on early compressions leading to higher survival rates and early AED deployment to leading to high survival rates. So it's a great program.
Excellent. Your work is appreciated. Any other questions? All right. Thanks so much for coming to our meeting.
You got it.
And see you next time.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Do we have a Sheriff's Department report?
Hi there. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. And now I can see you too.
I know. Ian Dowdy, one of the sergeants over at the Coast Station. And I do have the report if you guys are ready for it.
We are. Thank you.
All right. So November was a little slower for us, but it was in line with basically last year as well. 68 calls for service. We responded to 2 assault or battery, 38 disturbances, which is any noise complaints or parties as well. 1 report for burglary. We had 11 reports for theft. One notable thing on that is that we had a lot in November of catalytic converter thefts. I don't know if that's been brought up or before, but just something to pass on to people you see, especially Priuses and like the late 2000s models are usually what is targeted. And we had a spat of those, several of those in one night. And it's usually, oh, go on.
Sorry. Oh, sorry. Unfortunately, one of our staff had that issue. So we are familiar.
Yes. And it can, they've hit the same cars twice.
No.
So it's something just to be, you know, and it's, if people hear power tools or grinding at 2 or 3 in the morning, then give us a call because that's usually what it would be. There was for vandalism, only 3 calls for service. We respond to 1 mail theft, but I will say that it was only 1 call for mail theft, but 2 people were arrested for felony mail theft, and they had large amounts of mail on them. So especially around the holidays where people know that checks may be mailed and other packages and stuff, that increases. 15 suspicious circumstances calls, 28 enforcement stops, and 18 extra patrol or preventative patrol activity. We didn't have, for Palisades, where the handful of folk were still down there, we're working with our community team on kind of a case-by-case basis for how we can help them. The Kansas Safe Parking is routinely full just about every night, so it's being used fairly well over there. So that's all I have. Any questions?
Any questions from the board? All right, not hearing any, but thank you so much for giving your report. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Have a good evening.
You too.
California Highway Patrol.
Hello, good evening. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, and we can see you too.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's Lieutenant Jason Grimm. I'm standing in for Greg Klingenberg. Good evening to you all. We just had 3 items to report for last month, and they were all kind of out of town. LOVR. Near Turie, we had a DUI arrest, and the passenger was also taken for drunk in public. And then we had a 2-vehicle traffic collision in the same area, east of Turie. where a vehicle was driving in the lane and struck a John Deere tractor. And then as a result of the stop traffic, there was another two vehicle traffic collision in the same location about 2 minutes after that. And thankfully, there was a minor injury on that one, and that's about it. And then I was told by Greg that you guys wanted some statistics on collisions in the area of Baywood Elementary. I think you guys had asked that last time.
I think that's Matthew's question.
Map's not going to show up, I don't think, because of the screen.
No.
We drew like about a two to four block radius around the school. And what we came up with was 11 total collisions. And if you'd like, I'll go over each of them just briefly.
Please.
Okay. This goes back to December 16th of last year. It's a hit and run. I'm probably going to say it wrong. Isabel at 15th. It was a two vehicle hit and run. We had another hit and run, 10th at El Moro. That was on the 11th. Two vehicle, also very minor. We had a very minor non-injury collision, 10th at Santa Isabel again. That was on January 3rd at about 12:15 in the afternoon. Another two vehicle non-injury collision, 7th at Paso Robles. That was on February 4th at 4:15. Another two vehicle non-injury collision, 4th at El Moro. February 16th at 5:30 p.m. We had a solo bike collision with a minor injury, 4th at Pismo. That was on 2:21 at 8:45 in the morning. We had another hit and run, Ramona at 16th, on 6:29 at about 8:07 p.m. Another two vehicle non-injury collision, 11th at Napomo on July 24th at 7:15 p.m. Another hit and run, 4th at Ramona, vehicle versus a bike rack, August 17th at an unknown time. Vehicle versus pedestrian, 7th at El Moro. Minor to moderate injuries, lacerations to the head and elbow, and the party was transported. That's October 19th at about 12:15 in the afternoon. And the last one was a three vehicle non-injury collision involving a parked vehicle, 11th at Paso Robles. And that was on October 29th at 10:40 p.m. And that was it. Any questions regarding those or regarding anything else?
I think that was originally Matthew's question.
I appreciate all the data. It's good to kind of get an idea for what's going on. And I know that for me anyways, I get asked a lot about traffic speed, traffic calming, those kinds of things in town. So it's good to have your update at our meetings. I appreciate it.
No problem, Matthew. And if you'd like an update, you can email me and I'll just give you the quick summary. If you didn't write that down, I'll just give you all 11 in a quick summary if you want. It's jgrimm@chp.ca.gov. Again, J like Jason, G-R-I-M-M, two M's. Oh, I'm sorry, let's see. jgrimm@chp.ca.gov.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matthew.
Are there any other questions from the rest of the board?
One quick clarification. When you talk about hit and run, is that typically a vehicle striking a parked vehicle and then taking off?
It could be a vehicle. It could be, I think one of the cases, it was a bike rack. Someone probably backed. Yeah, I didn't get the, let me see if I got a, looks like they backed into a bike rack and then kept going. And so I'm not sure where the business is, but maybe the business called it in or a citizen or witness called it in and said that someone hit it and kept going, or it was just noticed in the morning and they called it in and said, hey, sometime overnight there was damage to our bike rack.
I know that location. Yeah, that's the Sweet Springs Preserve, their bike rack there at 4th and Ramona. But you mentioned a lot of hit and run, and I just think I just kind of want to make sure that they're hitting parked cars and not people, the kind of thing.
Yeah, the first one that happened in December was it hit a metal pole with a bus stop sign on it. That was the first one back in December. The other one was a bike rack, like you mentioned. That was in August. There was another one, vehicle versus a parked vehicle, December 11th of last year, unknown time. That was at El Moro, 10th and El Moro. Then let's see.
So it could be a variety of things, not necessarily a car, a stationary object. Okay. Yep.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Do I hear any other questions? All right. Thanks so much for coming to our meeting and giving you your report.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
We appreciate you, too. All right. Good night. Ron, do you have a report for us, general manager's report?
I do. And I just want to, like I usually do, want to just circle back real quick to the utilities department updates. Just really quick on a few of our capital projects that are in the works. Our program Seawell, we're getting some positive feedback from the county on the acceptance of our minor use permit. We gained approval and support from the Basin Management Committee and LOCAC, which was important for the planning department to get. So we're on track. They understand the urgency of that project, and I believe they're going to try to get that to hearing as soon as possible. I'm not sure exactly what that means yet, but it's positive so far. Real quick on our 8th Street Upper Aquifer well, you know, we've had delays because of supply chain issues. I just heard this morning, it looks like work will begin at the beginning of January. Again, that's been like about a 4-month delay because of the issues that we've had. And there may be some interruptions still with some of the electrical components, but progress. We'll actually see some work being done on site. And then finally, 16th Street South Tank Rehab and Coating Project. I issued the notice to proceed on Monday. So we will get a schedule for that soon and hopefully have that project underway shortly. Real quick, moving over to my general manager's report. I wanted to say that I had a really interesting meeting with EPA staff. It was a there's two of them and one of me. Meeting talking about grant opportunities and federal funding opportunities coming up. So I got a great summary back from them. I'll be pursuing that with my staff to see what we can look into, what we might be eligible for in the future as some of our more expensive projects move along. I did want to update that. I think I mentioned that there's a San Luis Obispo County Community Plan Update Work Group. It's the three water purveyors and county planning and building staff. We're meeting monthly, trying to resolve the water issues and get updates on where they're at with their water conservation study. So that's all positive, and I'll keep you posted as there's new developments. I did add to the general manager report the letter that we had sent to the Board of Supervisors regarding districting at their level. Sorry that didn't get in the original package as an oversight by myself. But we do have that available for the public on our website if you haven't already seen it. And finally, definitely want to keep reminding people about our drought. And please use your water wisely. The state's looking at imposing statewide water runoff restrictions or water inefficient use of water restrictions that could go in effect in January. They're pretty much in line with our water shortage contingency plan restrictions. But that's the severity of the drought statewide. And with that, I can answer any questions.
Thanks, Ron. Any questions from the board?
Ron, could you describe what the runoff restrictions means just for my
knowledge? Basically, and it's part of our water shortage contingency plan, water is not supposed to run away from your property. Yeah. That's your typical gutter flooding. You know, you can use water, it can be retained on your property. That's not considered the inefficient use of water. You know, it goes along with like washing your car without a shutoff valve on your hose, yep. Those types of things.
Okay. Great. I was just making sure that I understood that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions for Ron? All right. Thank you for your report. Do we have a LOCAC report?
I
I went to LOCAC last month. I can give a report. There was a county staff update by Carrie Brown. She talked about that there has been no action by the Coastal Commission on the vacation rental ordinance. And that was something that Bruce talked about when he gave his update, that they're working to work with Coastal Commission to move that along. Also, Carrie talked about the county has hired a consultant to start recalculating the Title 19 water offset requirements. And that was talked about a little bit later also in the LOCAC now has a ad hoc water committee. And so, yeah, so the county is reanalyzing the metrics for the offset program, which I think we've talked about in some of our meetings before. Supervisor Gibson's update started off talking about Palisades and Kansas Avenue. So he gave an update on the decrease in homeless population at Palisades and then the subsequent, as those residents are moving to Kansas Avenue, and talking about that Kansas Avenue is at capacity, like we heard from the sheriff earlier, and talking about some of the improvements that need to be made there. And he worked with his assistant Blake to work on those things. There was a big discussion about Kansas Avenue, and there was actually public comment from folks who were at Kansas Avenue by phone. And so I think Bruce was able to get some good valuable input on the needs and what's working and what needs some improvement out there. And then also obviously Supervisor Gibson went over the county redistricting, and which has obviously since gone a lot, well, it's kind of obviously been decided since the meeting on the 18th of November, but we talked about that for quite a while. Other than that, there was some talk about funding for a sidewalk on El Moro Street between 8th and 9th from the Bike Advisory Committee. And basically the committee wants to change the scope of that and is trying to work with the county to get that scope changed some. And then we were on the agenda from our program Seawell, and Ron fielded a few questions there, and we were unanimously approved by LOCAC. Other than that, there's no LOCAC meeting in December, and the next meeting for LOCAC is January 27th. That's my report. Any questions?
Yeah, any questions? Thanks for your report, Matthew. That was excellent. Chuck, did you want to say anything about utilities?
You know, just that I appreciate the work that the committee is doing. We're stepping through some changes with the Basin Management Committee, the Sustainable Yield Update, and as Ron mentioned, the working group to deal with the community plan update. So it's good stuff going on, and I appreciate that committee very, very much.
Thank you. Any questions for Chuck?
Not a question, but on the Utilities Committee, I have a nomination for that, Chuck. Pam Uyelet, can you help me with the pronunciation, Ron, or last name? You're on.
Oh, mute. You're muted, Ron. Unmute.
Sorry about that. Pam Ouellette.
Ouellette, yes. So I talked to her today. She applied. She's got experience in wastewater and very interested in helping our community around water resources and utilities. So I think she'll have a good input to your committee.
Good. That'll give us five a full committee.
Oh, terrific. All right. Oh, I kind of skipped over Parks and Rec because there's no meeting, but I do see maybe we should announce the next meeting is December 14th.
Yeah, there's a couple of things to talk about there real quick, if I could.
Okay.
One is we have a new member of our Parks and Recreation Committee. Gary Katayama has been selected to serve. I appointed him, and he's going to be at our next meeting. So I really appreciate him volunteering in serving that committee. He's got a lot of good ideas about the dog park and how to move that project along. So our next meeting will be, yes, like you said, December 14th. And we plan on going over the dog park in detail. Laura and Andrea Luker worked up a one sheet of our dog park. I wish we had it to show right now, but worked up a one sheet, basically a pamphlet for the dog park with the conceptual plan and the parts that we're working on. It turned out really great, and that'll be distributed here very, very soon. So if you're interested in the dog park, please show up on the 14th, and we'll get this project moving forward again.
I'm muted. Terrific, thanks. Are there any questions for Matthew? Okay. The Finance Committee, we approved the minutes, and we received and filed, the committee recommended we receive and file the 2020-2021 financial audit as presented. They sang Adrian's praises. They thought our finances were pretty easy to read. So a lot of work has gone into that, but it was very nice to hear. Adrian said she was a little wary of having a new auditor because she was used to the other one, but that it worked out really well. And she learned a few new things from the new auditor. So I think we can be really proud of that. And then just the regular, the committee recommended we receive and file the financials for the period ending October 31st, 2021, and receive and approve the warrant register for November. And that's all for finance. Any questions?
I did want to add just real quick that we'll be bringing the audit to the board at the January meeting.
Thank you. But it was nice to hear that that went well. Okay, ESAC?
Yep. We had the ESAC meeting, but unfortunately, we did not have the fire department in attendance. Ron, are you there?
Yes. We had scheduled a presentation by Chief Moore, but he was unable to make it. So,
so the meeting went relatively quickly.
Yeah. So hopefully we can reschedule.
We had a brief discussion of the future resource needs for South Bay Fire. We didn't come to any major decisions or consensus, but we just talked about some approaches that we will be discussing at our next meeting next quarter. We went over the first quarter budget review. There was no significant issues there, just a question about the fire engine. And that was pretty much it. And then the next ESAC meeting is on February 17th. Did I miss anything, Ron?
No, I think you covered it. We did have a good kickoff discussion about, you know, future needs for emergency services, including the condition of our fire building, fire department building. So that'll kind of open up for our next agenda to talk more about that.
All right, terrific. Any questions?
Yeah, this is Matthew. Thanks for that update, Marshall and Ron. I guess that's one thing I keep thinking about is future, what future spending we're going to have to do on our emergency services. So, yeah, really, it's great that we're starting to talk about that in that committee. And I'm hope I can make sure I find the time to pay attention to what's going on there, because that to me is one of the liabilities out there for us, that we have really little control over as far as those costs. And I want to make sure that we continue to have enough funding for the services that we have here.
Good comment, Matthew. And that's the point of what the exercise we're going through.
All right, excellent. Any other questions?
Okay. No questions, but Chris, I think you skipped over the Chamber of Commerce report as well.
Oh, is that, do we have someone from Chamber? I guess it's usually, that one's usually written. But if we have someone from Chamber, I'd love a verbal report. Oh, it says written only.
Okay, well, let me then.
Wait, Marshall's here and could give us a report.
Yeah, I can. we've been moving forward with our Christmas events this year. So that's the primary thing that we've been focused on over the past month or so. And I noticed that on the CSD website, you have the flyer for the parade. So that's a good thing. But what we have decided to do is we're going to have the tree lighting again, like we have every year at the corner of Palisades and Los Osos Valley Road. It will start at about 4:30 on the Friday, the 10th. And then we'll have some decorations, a few songs, and a couple little nibblers. And then that will go over. We're not still up to speed with doing the walkthrough or the walk down to the library and the presentation there yet, but that's something we're looking forward to working with the library on for next year. Then we didn't have the parade last year, so we're actually having the parade this year. The parade will be on the 11th from 10 to 12. Starts at Ralph's and goes down to the community center. And when you get down to the community center, then needs and wishes will be occurring in the community center. That was not held last year either. So that's something that we wanted to point out. So that's what we're moving forward with, the parade and the tree lighting this year. Our theme for the parade is Parade of Thanks, which not only means you can define that however you want. We're not talking about just necessary workers or, you know, doctors and nurses and police protection or fire protection or whatever. But if you want to thank your mother for helping you out get through this period, or your husband or your wife or whatever. So if you want to submit that, go to our website and there's a little link there where you can submit it. It has to be 24 words or less. And then assuming how many of those we get, Gary, who's acting as the MC, as he always does, will read those during the parade. So as the parade passes by there with filler, he'll be announcing those things. So we're trying to just, you know, recognize more than essential workers. But we will have in the essential workers, et cetera, are going to be our grand marshals for the parade this year. We decided to do that. So nurses and doctors in their, nurses and doctors will be there. Police, fire, sheriffs in uniform. We're having people come from Ralph's, from Grocery Outlet, from Miners. We're having every kind of service that's provided to the public that wants to get into the parade will be acknowledged. So that's what we're doing this year. It's going to be a unique touch. And Mr. Freiberg, Gary, came up with that theme for this year's parade. So we thank him a lot for that. So
that sounds terrific. And I love we're having the parade, or you're having the parade again. We're getting slowly back to normal.
Yeah, if anybody's interested in doing a float or sponsoring, look on our website, because we're still looking for people to be floating down, no pun intended, down the road.
Yeah.
I finally got some equestrians to get in the parade, so we're going to do that. And we have our Santa Claus will hopefully be appearing. That's just for us adults. So we're looking forward to it. They will be doing, Kiwanis will be doing the breakfast as they always do on the corner there, from 8 to 10. So if you're interested in the breakfast, that will be being given off on the corner. I forget, what's the name of that street there? Right across from Grocery Outlet. My mind went blank. Anyway.
Sunset or something? I think it's Sunset.
Sunset, yeah. That's it.
Right where the gas station used to be. Anyway, they will be doing their breakfast there too. So we'll see how it goes, but this will be our first year back up after a long, long time. I mean, after 1 year, but the parade was going on for a long, long time prior to that.
Excellent.
Thank you for mentioning that, Chuck.
Oh, I'm happy this event's coming back. I have one correction to the notice that I'm seeing in our packet, and that is about the needs and wishes benefit at the community center. It doesn't last until 9 p.m. it starts at 10, same time as the parade. So if you need to go grab something from the baked goods area and then get to the parade, you could do that. But it only goes till 6. The silent auction closes at 6, and then they do the raffle right after that, usually out of there by 7. And the benefactors of this event, Maxine Lewis was the old homeless shelter on Orchid, and now 40 Prado is the updated, it's the new center, and they will split the proceeds of that event with the Noor Clinic, the nonprofit who supplies healthcare to people without insurance. I'm glad to have this whole day back. This good. The parade's back. It's all good.
Can you remind me, Marshall, is it this Saturday or is it Saturday the 11th?
Saturday.
What's the date?
Saturday
the 11th.
Tree lighting's on the 10th, Friday, okay. And the parade's on the 11th.
Excellent.
City of All San right. Luis Obispo has theirs this Friday, so we don't want to be competing with them.
No.
And the boat parade this weekend.
Yeah. Lighted boat parade.
Yep. Lighted boat parade is Friday also.
Okay. Lots of celebration going on. We're in need of that. So, are there any directors' announcements of district and community interests and reports on attendance at public meetings?
Yeah, I have four. So,
okay.
If anybody else wants to go first,
I don't think you'd feel you feel weird if you don't have four.
Okay, the first one is the Basin Management Committee. We met on the 17th. It was just a carryover meeting from our prior meeting because of the length of the prior meeting. We didn't have time to get all of the agenda items done. So we had our executive director's report, which is our standard report. I don't think there was a lot of changes in that, but he does a really interesting report because he actually redlines the changes from his previous month's report. So we're able to focus just on the changes rather than the entire report. We had three action items. Was just the preliminary discussion of the 2022 budget. And then we had a discussion where we reviewed the LOCSD well minor use permit and the CDP application. And we recommended project approval to the county. And Ron already talked a little bit more about where that stands. And then lastly was we changed our contract for the executive director from Water Systems Consulting Inc. to Confluence Engineering Solutions Inc., which is, it's the same, Dan Heimel, it's the same person, but he decided to leave Water Systems Consulting and form his own firm, and Water Systems Consulting was on board with that. So we adopted that unanimously. So that's really all that happened, unless I missed something. Ron, you were there.
Nope, the budget discussion was the main focus of that meeting.
Yep. Okay. We're getting further away now. So I just, Morro Bay Estuary Program, I was not able to attend, but Christine, I attended in my place. Did you?
I thought it was on Thursday, but it was on Wednesday.
Yeah, so you were not able to attend?
I didn't. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
But I did cheat and find the minutes. There's 146 acres of eelgrass, plus or minus 10%. So that's looking good.
I know. I wasn't there to get the presentation because everybody knows eelgrass is my baby there.
Oh. So that looked exciting. That's what stood out to me.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I just wanted to bring out, Lexi Bell, who's been our executive director for the last 6 years, has retired as of December 28th. So we're in the process of recruiting a new executive director right now. So if you go to the Morro Bay National Estuary Program website, the link is available online. If you can't get it for whatever reason, you can give a call over to the offices. And then in the interim, until we hire a new one, Mike Malteri will be acting as our interim executive director. So that's what's happened there. I'm on LAFCO, so I thought I'd bring that up too. So we approved the annexation and the sphere of influence amendment to the city of Paso Robles on the southwest corner of the city. And then the panorama lots in Morro Bay, the application for that was withdrawn. So we didn't take any action on that. So that was it. Unless anybody has any questions, I'll try to be quiet for the rest of the meeting.
Oh, any questions for Marshall?
I'm thinking that he misspoke when he said that Lexi Bell retired. As somebody who spent 36 years before I could retire, she's just maybe moved on to something else.
She resigned. She's
okay.
Got a job as an administrative person over at Cuesta College now. So okay. She's resigned. I'm sorry.
That hurt because it took a long time to be able to retire.
I know. Those of us that are older, though, we think about retirement rather than new jobs. Sorry for that. My confusion.
Thank you.
Excellent. Any other reports? Okay, moving along. Let's see. Let me just ask, I don't think we have any, but do we have any responses to previously asked questions?
We do not.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's open it up for public. Oh, does anyone want to pull anything from the consent agenda? All right, let's open it up for public comment on items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please raise your hand. There's no public comment at this time.
All right, nothing exciting, just how we like it. Do I hear a motion?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and move to receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda. And then I will have a question after the second.
Anyone want a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Matthew.
I have one question about item 6E. Ron, have you had a chance to talk to Jeff about that yet, about the FAC we discussed?
I have not.
Okay, well, I'll wait then.
Okay.
Okay. Laura, may we have a roll call vote?
Yes. Director Ohilski.
Yes.
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
President Womack.
Yes. Okay. Does anyone have any future agenda items? And are there any closing board comments?
Happy holidays to everybody. Christmas, New Year's, everything.
Hanukkah.
Well, that just passed, so we're in
isn't
the
process. Oh, yeah, isn't it 8 days?
Yeah, I was saying we're in the process of it, so I'm sorry.
I want to put in a plug for the needs and wishes benefit again, and the whole day of the 11th. It's going to be good to have the parade back, pancake breakfast back, all that fun stuff. But the needs and wishes benefit, if you have not been at the community center after the parade, starting at 10, actually, it's got a little bit of everything there. There's a toy store with brand new toys. If you want to do some shopping for those on your Christmas list, or the barrels are there from the fire department. They drop in a couple times a day and take the toys for tots away. And there's a whole bakery area. Women and men spend hours baking good stuff. All kinds of knitted goods, caps and scarves, the silent auction. I've got a lot of stuff here in the house. Nice art pieces that people donate, and the kitchen goods. If you're looking for that air fryer, a set of Pyrex bowls, all those kind of things, do some Christmas shopping down there. It's a fun event. I don't know who the entertainment is lined up for this year, but typically it's the, you know, one of the school choirs and that kind of thing. The Taekwondo drummers for those that have earplugs. It's a fun event all day long. There's the grill's going, you can get burgers and veggie burgers and all kinds of fun stuff. It's just a fun day. Drop in and out all day long. The silent auction will close at 6. And I'll be there at that time because I know there's good stuff. And happy holidays to everyone.
All right. Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck.
Yep. Happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah. Hope we can see each other in person at some point next year. That'd be cool.
Yes.
Would be great.
Yes. Hopefully that's coming. All right. So probably my last meeting as president, I'd like to show some appreciation for all of the board of directors who serve our community and to the staff. Thank you, Troy, for stepping up the plate to serve Los Osos. With a little convincing from Chuck, I think.
And, no, that was his. No. He put that out there asking? In my ear. Well, he said, I'm interested. And I just encouraged at that point.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good.
I'm not going to take credit for that. Mm-hmm.
All yes. Right. But we appreciate your input. Matthew, thank you for doing such a terrific job leading Parks and Rec. Getting our connected pathway done. I feel we're so lucky to have an engineer on our board. So thank you for your service. Chuck, I mean, I said this earlier, but thanks for your long service on the Utilities Committee. I know you've been glad to see work that's been long planned actually getting implemented. So that must feel great. Marshall, I especially love how you feel strange if you aren't reporting on multiple meetings, most of which you chair. I think there's so many ways you serve the CSD on FAC, chairing the BMC, ESAC, the LAFCO, California Special Districts, and the Estuary Committee, and I'm probably missing something. I appreciate you teaching me how to make a meeting as fast as possible. So thank you all for your service. Thanks for Ron and Laura for updating our procedures and trying to just getting us in better shape as a institution and having procedures in place so that anybody that comes along can hopefully pick it up quickly what we need to do. And Jeff, especially lately, thank you for helping us understand this districting. There's just a lot of pieces that's kind of confusing. So I appreciate all of you. Have a great new year, and I'll see you next year. Thank you,
Christine.
I will adjourn the meeting. Oh, you're welcome. But it's a pleasure to serve all of you. You know, it takes a lot of us to make things work better.
It's a pleasure to work with you too, Christine.
Yes. Yes, that was
sweet. Thank you. All right. Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
Take care, everyone. Bye.